today. But God has laid a thought upon our heart that I believe, dear friends, that we all can relate to. The effect of bitterness. The effect of bitterness. Some of you today may be bitter today. Some of you today may be angry and bitter about something. Well, I want you to know something today, dear friends. Bitterness hinders and bitterness tears down. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with us to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We feel led by the Lord to look at one verse of Scripture today from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Lord willing, this morning we want to be able to look at verse number 15. The effects of bitterness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, dear friends, when the Lord led us to this passage of Scripture, we began to focus upon that little word of bitterness, and the Holy Spirit began to speak in our heart, and we all, at one time or another, have been bitter over one thing or another. I want you to understand something today, dear friends. Bitterness can tear one down, and Satan has a desire for you to be bitter today, to be angry today, to hold grudges today. Satan has a desire for you to implement bitterness each and every day of your life, and the Holy Spirit begin to remind us how important that it is that you and I not live a life that is laced with bitterness, but to be focused upon the will of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, to allow God to work in you and to level you and exalt you and to lift you up in ways that brings Him honor and brings Him praise and brings Him glory. I want you to know something today, dear friends. It's hard to honor God. It's hard to praise God when bitterness dominates your life. The writer here of Hebrews, the writer here begins to speak about the chastening of the Father. He begins in this text in chapter 12 to speak on many topics. The Holy Spirit began to lead us there to verse number 15. And we thought about how that the writer of Hebrews penned this when he said, looking diligently. That word diligent, it means to search. It means to crave. Oh, dear friends, we're to search out the good things of God. We're to look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, to lead us each and every day of our lives. And when you are craving God, when you are searching for God, I want you to understand something today, friends. Bitterness will find no place in your heart. The writer here is wanting the readers of this letter to understand the importance of knowing how that bitterness tears down, how that bitterness can hinder, and it can create havoc in one's life. That's why that he writes, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. What does that word fail mean? In the Greek, it means to fall back. What does bitterness do? It brings you to a point that you fall back instead of going forward with God. I tell you today, dear friends, life can either make you bitter or can make you better. We have a choice to make. You choose to be better, or you choose to be bitter. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You say, Brother Leonard, you bitter? Dear friends, I want you to understand something today. No, I'm not. I'm not bitter toward anyone. Now, there's some things I don't like. I know there's pain at the gas pump. I know that there's pain in the economy. I know that there's things in life that brings hardship. But don't you understand from today, I ain't bitter. I'm someone who strives to be better. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I fell and I come short of the glory of God. But dear friend, I want you to know something today. It ain't my desire to fall back. It's my desire to go forward. Yeah. We can if we choose. That's why that the writer of Hebrews used that word diligently. He had a desire for the recipients of this letter to search, to crave, to move in ways that is pleasing to God. That's what we're to do. Why is that so important? Because bitterness can canker, and bitterness can spoil, and bitterness can harbor emotions that contrary to the will of God. If you study the Old Testament and you go to Deuteronomy and you look there at chapter 29, it speaks of God. It speaks how that the children of Israel at some time would be bitter. And I want you to understand something today. Bitterness, it produces. And what does bitterness produce? It produces bitter fruit. You and I today are to be fruit bearers of love. We're to be fruit bearers of Jesus Christ. You and I today are to put forth every effort that we can to have the love of God in us, about us, and through us, and for the world to see. The world can see your bitterness. The world can see us, your anger. Now I work on a secular job. I work in a high-stressed environment, and you don't have to be an intellectual giant to see when someone's upset. You don't have to be on the cutting edge of emotions to know when somebody is angry. Because I want you to know something today. Some people think more of their automobile than they do their children. And you mess with their automobile, you've crossed the line. So you don't have to go too far to see when someone is angry. They'll let you know real quick. They're bitter at you. They're bitter at the industry. They're bitter at everything. They'll kick their dog. They'll scream at their wife. They'll even break a glass because they're bitter and they're angry. Oh, I want you to understand something today. What does bitterness do? It hinders. It can destroy your witness. It can stop your walk with God. The writer of Hebrews is proclaiming this. The writer of Hebrews wanted all to know when he said, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace. What is the grace? The grace in the good favor of God has extended to all man. And don't you understand something today? We're to embrace the grace of God. We're to embrace the favor of God, because the favor of God enables us to rise above the hardships of life. But you know today, we'll embrace the things of God. You know what will happen? Old Satan will creep in. He'll take hold. He'll make a refuge in your life. And he will do all he can to suppress you. So that can happen to me. I'm strong. Well, you know, bitterness and sin are companions to one another. They're soulmates, so to speak. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, I'm strong. I ain't bitter. Ain't no way I could be bitter. Well, dear friends, how many of you have ever seen a big old slab of concrete. Concrete sidewalk, so to speak. Live at a little age, and every once in a while you'll notice that there'll be a crack or two. Summertime's coming up. Springtime's right around the corner. You take notice of a slab of concrete this spring and summer. If you look very close, there's a lot of times that when them cracks will come in that concrete, there'll be a little blade of grass that'll penetrate that. Sometimes a little weed will spring up. You say, "Oh, I'm strong, I'm solid." But sin, it causes cracks, and Satan can slither through. It don't take but just a little. It don't take but just something small to make one bitter. It don't take very much to kindle the fire of hatred in one's heart. You ever heard of this? Why, that boy right there could get mad at a drop of a hat and drop it himself. That couple's been so bitter for so long, they don't even know what they're bitter about anymore. They're just mad. Is God pleased with that? No. Is God happy with that? No. You know what God wants you and I to be? He wants us to set an example. You say, "Well, we're going to find that example." You can find it right here in Hebrews chapter 12. Look, if you will, at verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Oh, dear friend, when we look and put our faith and our trust in the example of Jesus Christ, I tell you, the effect of bitterness becomes nothing. You said, "Brother Lynn, I'm harboring a lot of hard feelings. Take it to the cross." He says, "Oh, I've been discomforted by a friend. Take it to the cross." You might say, "Well, Brother Lynn, I've dealt with something for a long time, and I just can't let it go. Take it to the cross." Take it to the cross. You see, dear friends, when you look at your life and you see all that's going on, the busyness of life and of school and of work, all these things and the pressures and the stresses of life, sometimes it's very heavy. You might say, "Well, I'm doing pretty good right now." Praise God if you are.
Yeah.
But I want you to understand something today. We're all subject to fail and come short. We're all subject to fall. That's why, as the writer of Hebrews said, looking diligently, we're to search, lest someone is subject to fall. We're to embrace the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. That root of bitterness is something that will go unforeseen, like a root that runs under the ground. But eventually, you know what happens? It surfaces. And when it surfaces, you can rest assured that hardship is on you. What are we to do? What are we to do? We all are emotional wrecks. We all get angry. We all clamor about it. We all have hardship. Looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He who helps us is willing to lead us and to guide us and to direct us and to encourage us with that race that is set before us. I tell you today, I can't run when I'm burdened and I'm bogged down with sin. Now I'm old and I got bad back and I can't go like I used to. And I want to tell you something. I watch these gentlemen, these young men, when we have plays here at the church, and they grab this pulpit and they carry it off. I've watched them back there and I thought, boy, I just don't know how they do that. You see, if I was to have to carry this, I couldn't get nowhere. But without it, as weak and as puny and as lack of strength as I am, I can go. But if I'm burdened with a weight, if I'm burdened with something that's hindering me and causing me hardship, I want you to know something today, dear friends. My movement is stopped, or my movement has just quit. And what we're saying today is that bitterness, it will stop you. It will put the brakes on your life and prevent you from being in God's will. The effects of bitterness is real. Have you ever had to apologize to somebody? I got an uncle. Bless his heart, he's still alive. He's 96 years old. Hard and set in his ways. And I just used to say to him, you think you might ought to make something a little bit better with them, would I? He said, I'd rather eat grass first. I'd rather eat grass first. You know, sometimes we get pride. Sometimes we get stubborn. Sometimes we get set in our way. But I want you to tell you today, dear friends, pride and all these things, the hindrances that they bring about falling. I tell you today, let us lay aside pride. Let us lay aside anger. Let us kick bitterness to the curb and strive to serve God. You know something? We would embrace that. This old world would be a whole lot better place. You know, I've often said this, is that the church of the living God and what they should be doing and how they should be doing, a lot of these programs in this world today wouldn't even be in place. But when they're too worried about building buildings and doing these great, glorious, spectacular things, the little things seem to fall by the wayside and bitterness finds root. Writer of Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, dear friend, your bitterness can lead to the defilement of many. Oh, dear friend, let us look to Jesus Christ and all that it is that we say and do. You may be here today. You may be saying, I need help. Jesus Christ is our present help in time of trouble. Jesus. You say, well, ain't you judging me? No. Listen. Ain't none of us can afford to throw rocks. We all live in the spiritual God's house. We all are subject to fail and come short of the glory of God. The bitterness and the sense of pride that comes about in society comes upon us all. I need help. You need help. And Jesus Christ, praise His glorious name, He is our help. He's our present. Paul was writing about the walk of the believer as the indwelling Holy Spirit was sealing in one's life. He tells us in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter number 4, He tells us here in verses 30 through 32, he says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you." If we're bitter today, we don't even have to have a time for the invitation. Just come to God. If bitterness is ruling the roost in your life and you want to be where you need to be with God, come to God. Ain't no ifs, ands, ain't no buts about you. Say, "Brother Lee, you're being kind of arrogant." Arrogant? No, I'm not. I've come to God. I've been here. I've done that. See, friends, we want what's best for ourselves and those that are around us. And sometimes, to start to make things better in your life and in the lives that's around you has to start with me. You know, it's easy for me to see everybody else's problems. I don't have any. I'm kind of perfect. Don't tell Angie that. I want you to understand something today, dear friends. We all fail to come short of the glory of God. And if we want to be the very best we can be for the glory of God, then we have to diligently search out the things of God, crave the things of God, embrace His grace to allow not the effects of bitterness to control our lives. Dear friends, there's some people today that are so angry and so mad that they're miserable. They look great on the outside, but on the inside, they're just rage. You can't see it, I can't see it, but God sees it. The writer of Hebrews is writing to the general church, the early church, designed for them to follow the leadership of the Lord. Chastisement comes, blessings comes, seasons of highs and lows comes to us all. It's a daily thing. Is it not? It's a daily thing. You might say, "Brother Lynn, I ain't got bitterness in my life today, and I ain't mad or angry now." Well, listen, you may be before you get home. You say, "Well, there ain't nobody riding in the car with me, but me and my husband, me and my wife and my kids." Well, I tell you what, Satan's all just a scooch on in there with you, too. You can have a Holy Ghost shouting me and leave on a cloud of witness and be in the valley when you ever get your house. How many times have we said this? How many times are we going to say it? Said it quite often. It's not that God needs old Lynn. It's that Lynn needs God. Amen. I need Him. You need Him. We all need Him. Amen. When that old grudge seems to surface, that old anguish and pain from yesterday seems to get a spark and a spring in its step, let us look to the Lord to help us. Let us look to the Lord to suppress it. Let us look to the Lord as you would that old weed killer that you would spray on that bloody grass that comes through that concrete. Let us look to the Lord to have it be taken away. Because you see, dear friends, out of sight, out of mind. If you don't have to dwell on it, you don't have to focus on it. Dear friends, this space between our ears, you've heard it many, many times, it's the devil's playground. If he can bring about hardship in your life, he most certainly will. But let us be focused on the good things of life and the wonderful things of the Lord. Instead of the things that we can't do anything about and can't change. Yeah. You
So, Brother Lim, what am I to do?
We're to pray.
We're to pray. We're to pray. Prayer changes things. You're here today and you're troubled and you're hindered. And bitterness seems to have center stage of your life. Look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Let's stand. As we come to play us a song of invitation, if you're here today, dear friends, and you have a prayer and either a prayer concern, the altar is open. The Lord wants the very best for you. The Lord wants the very best for me. And the Lord gives us this Bible, this instruction book to help us, to enable us, to be able to rise above things of this old world. He said the things of this old world, you know who the prince of this world is? He's running rampant. That's why that Peter says that we're just pilgrims, we're just sojourners, we're just passing through. My home's in glory. My home's in glory. For us to put our focus on God as He leads us home. If you're here today and you need direction and you need help, you're at the right place. Please come as we pray. Thank you.